Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host of Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, the place where we align our hearts with the heart of God. It is so wonderful, so good to be back here with you today. To God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. I missed y'all last week. I know we tried to replay one of the sessions we had done, or I recorded the session on Friday, I believe it was, and tried to play it for you on Saturday. We set it up to play for you on Saturday. And I've been so busy ever since, I didn't get a chance to go back and listen to it and see, you know, if it played, whatever the case may be. I didn't know, but, you know, to God be the glory. I'll check it out today. So if it didn't play, I apologize. If it did play, praise be unto God. And may you come as you are this morning to another session of Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I also want to tell you that the reason I was not here last week, but we had, like I said, a recorded show on, my church family and I went to see the play Jesus at Sight and Sound. It was the most wonderful experience we have ever had, and especially sharing this experience together. You know, the play about the last 3 years of Jesus' life, you know, his ministry, the miracles he performed, and so forth. It was absolutely excellent. The scenery, you know, as they say, was to die for, and of course we're not going to die for scenery, you understand what I mean, but the scenery, the props, oh my God, it was so fantastic. I get amazed at when I see the results of somebody putting their gifts and talents together and come up with the things that they come up with, and I'm like, God, how amazing are you that you could touch someone's mind enough to do that particular thing. And then they had all of the animals there. They had camels and horses and sheep and pigs and doves, and I don't know what else they may have had, but all of these animals there, and well-trained, knew exactly what they were supposed to do at a particular time. Those animals did everything but talk, I'm telling you. So it was great, Saints. It was truly great. And it's called Sights and Sound near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And you get to see and you get to hear everything that is taking place. We're definitely looking at going back again next year, and next year the play will be Queen Esther. At the end of this year, they're doing a Christmas play, so of course you know that's going to deal with the birth of Christ. And every year they do at least two productions, I believe they do two productions. And again, it is fantastic. So if you've never gone to Sight and Sound, I encourage you to make that a plan for next year. Please go and see whatever it is that they're doing. And if you can get there this year and see the play Jesus, don't deny yourself. Don't deny yourself. On Saturday, if you go with a group, on Saturday the price is $75 plus your tax. So I think, $75, I think. And then if you go in during the week, it's cheaper if you go during the week. And whatever, it's worth every penny. That's all I can tell you. It's worth every penny. And after we got through with the play, we went to Golden Corral and had a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship, a wonderful time of fellowship. There was 40 of us all together, and like I said, we had a great, great time, great time. So that's my plug for Sight and Sound. That is my plug for Sight and Sound. The church members are still talking about it. You know, whenever we see each other, we're still talking about it, amazed at the scenery and amazed at how they worked everything, wondering how they worked everything. It was awesome. It was awesome. And look, not only did you have the sight and the sound, praise God, you also got the feel of the wind that was blowing. You know, they blew the air, the wind, through the auditorium. So you got the feel of the wind when Jesus was walking. No, in the scene where Jesus had been sleeping on the ship and they were going through a storm. And so, you know, you see the waves and the water and all of that good stuff. And then there was the wind that was blowing out on the sea, and the wind blew in the auditorium so much so people were grabbing their sweaters and covering themselves up and snuggling up close together, you know, because it got a little chilly in the wind. It was so real. It was so, so real. So, again, I encourage you to go and to see this as soon as you possibly can, as soon as you possibly can. All righty, beloved. All righty. Minister Tabika will not be with us this morning. Praise be unto God. There is so much going on. So she had to go and take care of the matters that she had to take care of this morning. And I'm not going to fuss because, you know, I don't know if you know, but Friday coming up, is it Friday? No, Thursday. Thursday coming up is my birthday, and the church is celebrating my birthday tomorrow. So I know that, you know, they're doing whatever it is they have to do. I don't know what's going on tomorrow, but it will not be our regular service, but it will be something. There is service, and like I said, I don't know what's going on. So she has to finish whatever it is she has to do for that. So I excused her this morning. By all means, go do what you got to do for the wonderful event that's happening tomorrow. Those of you that are here in the Baltimore area, if you are around, come on over to New Vision for Life Church. Come on over and spend time with us even on tomorrow. There's never a Sunday that you are not welcome. So go to our website, www.newvisionforlife.com. Go to the website and get the address and see the starting time. And you are welcome to come and experience the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's right. You are welcome. Praise be unto God. Now, good morning to Joyce. Hallelujah. Good morning to Joyce Richardson, Tamika Shelton's mother. So good morning to Tamika. Praise be unto God. I pray that all is going well for you at this time. And to Joyce, praise be unto God. To you, my love, everyone knows that you are my longest standing fan and follower on this show, and it's never the same when you're not here. So good morning to you, beloved. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago area. Good morning to you. Always wonderful to see your number on board. Good morning to Prophetess Dawn, Prophetess Kim. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Love you always, beloved. In fact, I think you're supposed to be coming to Baltimore this weekend. Praise be unto God. If it's not this weekend, it's next weekend. But God bless you, woman of God. Love you. And good morning to Isaiah, my nephew in Pennsylvania, and to the Crawfords in Kentucky. I can't remember whether it's Kentucky or Tennessee, but good morning to you, beloved. Love you always. And to the rest of our fans, good morning to you. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. He is used to be our co-host as well, and has his own show, Issues, Christian Men Talk. I encourage you, as always, go to and listen to his shows on Monday and Thursday. And if you go to Facebook and pull up Thomas Farr or pull up Issues, Christian Men Talk, either one, and you will find out how to listen to his show live or the recorded version of it. Also, speaking of recording, I know I don't mention it much, but please know that every single show we do is recorded and archived. Every single one is recorded and archived, good, bad, or indifferent. And you can go back to Blog Talk radio.com. Yes, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and / Apostle Etta Banks. I think it's Etta Banks. If it's not Etta Banks, it's Apostle Banks. But you can go back to Blog Talk and you can pull up any of our episodes and listen to them for the first time, or if you so choose to do so, you can re-listen to the show. So remember, just go to blogtalk.com and you can pull up Heart to Heart and you will find us and listen to the shows. Okay? All righty. Well, I've done enough for our introduction. Praise be unto God. I'm just welcoming you back again. Like I said, we were absent from you last Saturday because we were at Sight and Sound, but there was a show that was uploaded that should have played for you, and I pray that it did. I pray that it did. So, all righty, beloved, let's go ahead and open in prayer and give God the glory because he is so worthy. He is so, so worthy. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I love you and I honor you and I bless you. I magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, as I think about who you are, I think about it as I mentioned, the names. Your name reminds me that you are our keeper and you are our healer and our deliverer. Our Redeemer, you are our peace. You are the banner over us, which is love. God, you are God with us. Oh, my Father. Lord, you are Abba Father. You're our advocate. You go, you know, and you, Jesus, you and your spirit, you go before the Father on our behalf. You plead our case. And Lord God, because you, being the judge, are the same person as the one, Jesus, that is our advocate who pleads our case. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you do not disagree with yourself. Therefore, Lord God, that we are found not guilty, Lord God, and case being dismissed. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that there's nothing that could separate us from your love. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I praise God because anything that we do that is sinful, Father God, Father, when we repent and turn away from those things, Lord, when you look at us, you see your Son's blood. You see the shed blood of Jesus Christ over us. And you continue to love us and to woo us, oh God. Lord, I thank you that even when you chastise us, it is because you love us so much. Because you love us. You don't want to see us to continue to walk down paths of destruction. So you'll chastise us, you'll rebuke us, oh God, and you continue to woo us back into your arms. Father, for this we do say thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move on this line today. You know the needs of every single person that will call in, those that will go to their computers and pull us up on the computer and listen to us live, those that will catch us later on another day of the week as they listen to the recorded session. Father, however it is, they join us for the ones that join us. Lord God, I pray your healing power to be relinquished on this line. The anointing that destroys the yoke, let it flow in the name of Jesus. Move even this hour, hallelujah. Move this hour, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. There's nothing and nobody, oh God, that's higher than the name of Jesus except your word. You said that you place your word above your very name, and you let us as a man, you let us carry the word, preach the word, teach the word, meditate on the word, respond to the word which is also Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the word. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. As we go forth today, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heavenly places, or should I say in heaven, as the word says, let it be done. So God, even as we pray, Lord God, we're waiting for the manifestation of that which is already done. The healing is already done. The salvation is already done. Redemption for us, it is already done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. It is already done. So, Father, we thank you for the answers. We thank you for doing those things that are necessary for your glory to reign here on earth. We thank you, Lord God, for the provision that you've already made for us. We thank you. Glory be to God. We thank you. And we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus, Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Beloved, the topic that I'm going to hit this morning, it took us 2 weeks at New Vision to cover the topic, and it is the evidence of you leaving your first love, the evidence of you leaving your first love. So those of you that are from New Vision that are on the line, I pray that you won't get bored by the repeating of this particular choice of teaching today. Maybe I'll say something different or the Holy Spirit will move in a different manner, but the points will all be the same. So I pray that you continue to get the meat of it in Jesus' name. Praise God. All righty. We are looking at the signs of leaving our first love for God. And this is from the Institute and Basic Life Principles. This is an article from them, and it's a very good article. In fact, the last few articles that we've done has come from them. And as I do this one, what are the signs of leaving your first love for God? After we get through with this, I'll come back with returning or rekindling the signs of your first love. Yes, and we'll come back to that. So be ready. So look, you know that that when we first give our hearts to the Lord, praise be unto God, we're excited about it. We love him. We're telling people, you know, that Jesus came into our hearts and what a difference it makes. And Revelations 2 and verse 4, Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And he was talking about the church of Ephesus, where they were so busy doing so many things. Wait for it. Doing so many things for God. That's right. They weren't doing their own personal things. They were doing so many things for God. And he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. That was in verse 4. And in verse 5, he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In other words, get back into place. Remember where you fell from, and that was from your first love. God is to always be first. Even when we're doing things for God, we can do so many things for him and get so caught up in doing those things that we don't take the time to spend time with him as our first love. And, oh, my goodness, it will cause us to truly, truly to wane cold. It will cause us to dry up because we're not spending time with God. So let's look at the several things that could indicate that you're wandering away from your first love. Number one is you delight in someone else more than you delight in the Lord. The love that we have for God should be first and foremost in our hearts. And in Mark 12 and 30, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, the first commandment. So our love for God should be first and foremost. And when you find yourself delighting in someone else more than you delight in the Lord, you are putting them before God. Your relationship with God deepens as you spend time in his word and commune with him in prayer. On this line today, we have some awesome prayer warriors, intercessors, and I'm telling you, beloved, they go before the Lord. They pour their hearts out to God, but more so than them pouring their hearts out to God, God pours his heart out to them. The Holy Spirit reveals unto them what he wants them to pray about, and they pray. And whether it was 15 minutes or whether it goes into 4 and 5 hours, they pray. And they can do that because they have fellowshipped with God. They understand the importance of knowing his word and praying his word. And so they commune with him. They get the understanding of the true condition of God's love. And when we don't do this and do it, you know, on a small basis, things can become dull in our life. They can become dull. So we want to remember this. Understand, number two, your soul does not long for the times of rich fellowship in God's word or in prayer. And that is number two, and I've already spoken on that. Your soul does not long for that time of fellowship in prayer. Remember I said that that you got to pray and spend time in His Word. As God's children, as the friend of God, as the bride of God, it is critical that we draw near to Him to engage in our relationship with Him. Number three, our thoughts in leisure moments do not honor God. And remember again the scripture saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and strength. Okay, but right now this is the mind part of it, that you should love God with all your mind. So, so the things that captivate your thoughts in leisure moments reveal much about the priorities of your heart. About the priorities of your heart. What is it you spend time thinking about the most? What thing draws you away from thinking about the Lord and spending time in His Word? What is it? You know, a lot of people, you know, have hobbies that they spend more time thinking about that and participating in the hobby than they have and spending time with God. There are a lot of ministers that spend so much time doing all of these things for the Lord that they're not spending time with the Lord. That's right. That's right. You've got to be aware that even when we're doing what looks good, we need to be doing God. In Philippians 4:8, it said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Captivate your thoughts. Throw down those vain imaginations and begin to deal with and operate and meditate in and on the Word of God. And this way you will become closer to Him. Number four, you make excuses for doing things that displease the Lord, claiming to be only human. And remember the scripture again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. That's right, with all thy strength. God wants you to dedicate your life to Him as a living sacrifice. What is it you're fantasizing about? What is it you're lusting over in your mind? Who is it you're lusting over in your mind? Lusting over, thinking, just you meditate on things that are not of God. And then you come up with the excuse, I'm only human. What do you expect? Well, God left us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to obey Him. We are to dedicate our lives unto Him as a living sacrifice. And He's given us everything we need to do that. As your good shepherd, He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His namesake. We know about that in dealing with Psalms. He will lead me into paths of righteousness for your namesake. He will do that. So instead of lusting after that woman or that man or that job or that money or that power or whatever it is, instead of lusting after that, beloved, 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 spend time with the Lord thy God. Spend time with Him. There is no excuse for disobeying Him. Your obedience to God demonstrates your love for Him. Ha, ha, ha. Listen to me. Your obedience to God demonstrates your love for Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. And John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you're abiding and living in my love. God wants us to show him the ultimate form of love. He is the one that showed us the ultimate form of love, for he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He gave the ultimate sacrifice, and now he's asking us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him. So therefore, beloved, you're going to have to die to your lust. That's right. Hear me when I say this. We have to die to our lust. We've got to stop fantasizing about relationships that can never be or should never be, because they can be if you pursue them, but relationships that should never be. We must cut the cords on those things. We must cut the cords on it. Don't, again, use the excuse that you're only human. You are a child of God. You're serving the Almighty God, a supernatural God who makes what's supernatural, he makes that natural for us. In other words, us laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. Us casting out demons, that should be done. Praise be unto God. Us leading others to the kingdom of God by sharing the word of God. This is what he's looking for us to do, beloved. So do so, and do so with a cheerful heart. In fact, that's number five. If you do not willingly and cheerfully give to God's work or to the needs of others, generosity is a part of God's holy character. Remember, he loved the world so much that he did what? He gave. Remember the word says that God loves a cheerful giver. Give financially. Give of your time. But this is specifically talking about us giving of our earnings, of that we've been blessed with. Give. You to give cheerfully unto the works of the Lord and you to the needs of others. As believers, we are to love and to give, even to our enemies, the word tells us. We can do this only by the grace of God as he renews our mind and teaches us to walk in obedience to his voice. I know it's hard. The human part of us tells us, and I know I experience it. I feel it, yes. You know that in my flesh, hallelujah, praise be unto God, I want to spend time thinking on things that I shouldn't think on. I want to spend my money on new clothes and new shoes and this, that, and the other. But the Lord tells us to give. And you know what, beloved? When we give unto the kingdom of God, unto the ministries, unto the needs of others, you know, the scripture tells us about the law of reciprocity. As I give, hallelujah, God gives back to me. Praise be unto God. And this is for those that are saved or not. You know, it doesn't matter. It's a law, like the law of gravity. The law of gravity keeps things, you know, from falling on us. I mean, pulls things down that are supposed to come down, you know, at the right time and so forth, and keeps things in the place that it should be. And the law of gravity does not work just for us that are saved. No, it works for all man. When the Lord causes it to rain, it doesn't just rain on us, you know, to give us a cool breeze and to take care of our crops and so forth. No, it does it on the just and the unjust. It rains on both of us. Praise be unto God. So there's some things that the saved and the unsaved will cooperate with, who they will cooperate, receive the blessing of it together, the just and the unjust. There's some things that is just for us, but there are some things as principles and laws, you know, to be followed. They are for us all. Praise be unto God. So let's move on to number six. you cease to treat others as you would treat the Lord. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 13:34, loving one another is not a suggestion. So remember that. It is a command that we are enabled to fulfill by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let us not be quick to judge others and condemn them. Consider the love that God had for us. Consider what we were like. Consider what we are like. So if we're judging other people, consider that we are that way and Christ still loves us. But again, with the Holy Spirit, he's given us the ability to love even our enemies, to love even our enemies. Beloved, 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 1 John 4:10-11, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Praise be unto God. Number 7, you view Christ's commands as restriction to your happiness rather than expressions of your love. This is a biggie. This is a biggie. God's commandments, the words of your wise and caring Father, leads you towards what is good and away from that which is evil. Beloved, 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 obedience to the commandments brings true freedom and joy. Listen, when the Holy Spirit, or when God told us not to fornicate, not to fornicate, there was a reason for it. It wasn't to restrict you from having sex. It was to keep you safe and sound and pure until the day that you get married. Beloved, once you have sex with someone and you continue to have sex with other people, you will constantly be comparing one to the other. Oh, this one was better than that one, or I like what this person did, and so forth and so on. You open yourself up to diseases of all kinds. Some diseases you can get rid of with a pill. Others you get rid of it with a shot. Others take you to your grave. Others can cause you to walk in a state of blindness, cause your children to be born with blind eyes because of a sexually transmitted disease. Darling, is this what you want? Is this what you want? God was not trying to keep you from having sex. He totally wants you to have it. He's the one that created it. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. You didn't create that thing. You didn't create the parts of your body that brings you enjoyment. No, you did not do that. God did that. And in him doing so, he wants you to enjoy it without all of the restrictions or all of the consequences that comes with us having multiple sexual partners. That's why he said, don't do it. Don't do it. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Saints, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whether you like it or not, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came and lived and resides within you. So everything you do to your body and with your body, the Holy Spirit sees it. I want you to get that and get it clear. The Holy Spirit sees it. It grieves him when we misuse our bodies. It grieves him. It grieves him when we have sex with someone that we're not supposed to. It grieves him when we're fantasizing and doing things, masturbating and so forth. It grieves him when we do these things when he didn't give us this part of our bodies to do these things with. No, you're to share that with someone that you married. So, no, he did not give us his commands as a restriction to our happiness, but rather it is an expression of his love. These are signs that we have fallen away from our true love. Obedience to his commandments brings freedom and joy. Obedience. Okay. Number eight, you strive for the affirmation, for affirmation from the world rather than approval from the Lord. That's right, love. We care so much about what somebody else says, what they think about us, what they, have to say about us. Jesus faced many misunderstandings and rejection because of his obedience to God. And we will, listen. We will face similar situations. Not everybody is going to like us or love us. Not even in the body of Christ. It is not going to happen. John 15:19 says, if ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Beloved, do not be upset because the world hates you. Understand, because they do, it shows that you are doing the right thing. The word tells us, love not this world, neither the things of the world. So, and 1 John 2:15-17, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abides forever. So my sweetheart, my beloved children of God, what do you want the most of? Do you want the approval of man, and his approval will pass away in time? His approval will fade. If you don't keep doing what he wants you to do, that will fade. Do you want the approval of man, or would you prefer the approval of God, which will, with his approval, that will last forever? It will last forever. His well done, thy good and faithful servant, will carry you to the end. I'm telling you, do not choose the world over God. God chose us out of the world. He chose us out of the world. So the world hates us. Remember, the world, Satan is running things here on earth because man has given him the permission to run what needs to be run. We are not to be run by Satan. So therefore, my love, if you are caring more about what the world has to say for you, you're looking for the world to give you approval, you're doing that more than you want approval from the Lord, you have moved away from your first love, which is the Lord. Number nine, you fail to make Christ or his words known because you fear rejection. Kind of connects right to the one that we just spoke of. You don't want to say anything to anyone and tell them the truth about things because you are afraid of how they will react to you. You don't want them rejecting you telling them about the word of God. If your faithfulness to God depends on the reaction of those around you, you are serving man instead of serving God. The word says in John 15:20, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Understand that the servant is not greater than his Lord. So when you have a place where you have a servant working in the house of the master of the house, the servant is not greater than him. We are not greater than the Lord. We are not greater than the Lord. If the Lord has been persecuted, we too shall be persecuted. We must be faithful to him no matter what. We don't need to be afraid to tell people about Jesus Christ and his love. We need to do so. We need to share that saving grace so that they too will be one of the Lord's. Amen. Amen. So now number 11. Number 10. That's right, number 10. You refuse to give up an activity that you know is offending a weaker brother. In every generation, Christians seek God's will concerning their discretionary activities. Every one of us gives an account of himself to God, every single one of us. The word says, let's see, in the scripture, Romans 14:12-15, it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in a brother's way. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. So in other words, beloved, there are things that are offensive to others. We are not to do those things that would cause our brothers to fall. It mentioned the meat here. Many folks do not eat pork because back in Leviticus, it tells us not to. But then in the New Testament, Christ said everything that he created is clean. So that kind of covers that. So the people that don't eat pork still do, they do that. And then we are going to have lunch with them or invite them to our houses for dinner. And what do we serve? We serve spare ribs or, excuse me, we serve spare ribs. This is offensive to our brother. The word says, if our brother be grieved by meat, destroy it, get rid of it. Don't put it in front of him. Don't cause him to fall. Don't cause him to go through misery because we choose to please ourselves before we're taking care of our brother. Do so, Lord. I mean, folks, let us be mindful of that, that we are giving up an activity that we know is offending a weaker brother. Number 11, you become complacent towards sinful conditions around us. This one really, really means a lot to me. Jesus warned that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's in Matthew 24:12. Witnessing the sinfulness of the world around you should motivate you to follow after God with even greater determination. But we have become desensitized to sin. We hear people cursing. We see drug addicts on the street. We see prostitution. We see people stealing at our jobs. You know, we see people fornicating. We know of homosexual relationships and so forth and so on. And it's like, you know, that's them. If it feels good to them, let them do it. To each his own. Okay, Sarah, Sarah, what will be, and and they're not hurting anybody. You know, they're not. I don't have to do what they do. You know, that's their life, that's their sin, and so forth. And we just become desensitized. We become desensitized to sin, and that is not what God wants from us. It is not what He wants from us. When we see our brothers sinking in sin, sinking in the sand, the cesspool of sin and destruction, we ought to reach out our hand and pull them up and out of that, just like the Lord pulled us up and out of it. We are to reach and pull them up and out of it. We are not to be okay with their sins. We are to be bold enough to tell them that it is sin. See, that goes right back to the one that says we don't speak about the Lord because we fear rejection from man. I'd rather him love me. I'd rather my friend think I'm the greatest friend in the world, you know, and rather than to tell him, bro, you're sinning. Bro, that is offensive to God. Bro, man, what are you doing? Don't you know that this is not good? This is not good. And you know something, when we do that, some of our friends are going to leave us because they would prefer to continue to sin than to obey God. And we've got to be okay with that. Do you hear me? We've got to be okay with some of them walking away from us. Then we've got to be strong enough sometimes that we give them the word and we have to walk away from them. Because if they continue to choose to walk in that place, if they could be turned over to a reprobate mind. You are to continue to tell them the word, tell them the word. Don't let them or your love for having approval of man continue to let you wax cold that you don't care about the sin that you see. It should grieve us. The word tells us to hate the things that the Father hates, and he hates sin. So, beloved, we've got to hate it too. We've got to hate it too. The last one here, you are unwilling to forgive your offenders. It's the last one, but it's the greatest one. For we must forgive others so that we too could be forgiven. Holding a grudge against another person indicates that you lost sight of the greatness of God's forgiveness of our own sin and the fact that we need his grace. We need his grace. Bitterness is a natural fruit of unforgiveness. As believers, we are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Beloved, we must forgive those that offend us. If a man says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Beloved, if there is someone that you hate, then you don't have the true love of God. God hates the sin that that person is doing. We can hate the sin. We should hate the sin that that person is doing. But we must love the person. We must love the person. And we must forgive. We must forgive them. We must forgive them. Sweethearts, this is these have been 12 ways to know that you're not walking in the place of being with your first love. That either one of these things, you know, that needs to be corrected, let us correct it. Everything that I gave you, every one of those things, you see, it all was the Word of God or is the Word of God. There was scripture for each and every one of them. This last one, if you're unwilling to forgive your offenders, God said that if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. 1 John 4 and verse 20. You also can look at Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35, which is talking about how, about the forgiveness that we must extend and the forgiveness that we receive and the grace of God. So, beloved, the Word of God, because of the Holy Spirit living in us, we are able to do these things that is saying that we're not doing, which shows that we have moved away from the love of God. In Jeremiah, first in Exodus 33:13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. This is Exodus 33:13. The longings of our hearts should be to know God and to know him intimately. That is the reason for knowing his ways and his will, is so that we can know him, so that we can know him. Jeremiah 29:13 is, ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you. Jeremiah is saying here that for Jesus, he's saying, seek me, and I will be found. God is not hiding from you. He wants you to long after him and thirst after him. Do those things so that you can be filled with the love of the Lord. I'm telling you, when you make him your first love, life is truly different. It is truly different. I'm not telling you that it's going to be heavenly bliss, because remember, we are like Christ, so we will suffer for the kingdom's sake. We will suffer. But, beloved, the blessings, the promises of God is so much greater than the suffering that we do. So if your love for God has grown cold, you need to take the steps to renew our relationship from him. We need to return to our first love, and he waits for us with open arms. He's waiting. He's waiting for you today. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you convicted those that are on the line listening, that if there's any one of these things that they're doing, that they will repent and turn away from these ways, O God, and come running back to you. I thank you that you've given us an opportunity to be right in your eyes. Lord God, I thank you for the man of God that you blessed to write this article, Lord God, that gave me the ability to share the article, Father God, and for the anointing that you placed upon me, O God, to expound on these things in a way that this listening audience would understand. Father, I thank you for your grace and mercy. I stand in the gap, Lord God, and pray that each that are here will pray for themselves and for others. But Father, forgive us for the things that we have done that was displeasing in your sight. Father, forgive us, O God. And we, because we have been made in your image, shall forgive those that have offended us. I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, it has been awesome being with you today. It's more than wonderful being with you. I love you tremendously. I want you to continue to be blessed. Continue to be blessed. Go back and listen to the ways that shows signs of us leaving our first love for the Lord. Go back and listen to them. And be sure that you get those things, we get those things corrected in our own lives. Let us not judge our brothers, but let us judge ourselves, do self-inspection. Let us look at ourselves and get right with God. There was that old song, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, and he will show you how. down at the cross where he shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. I encourage you today to get right with God. Go back to your first love. Let that be what you do today, and then enjoy yourself in service, the service that you'll spend with him today and in your church service on tomorrow. I love you. God bless you. God bless you, Deacon Farr. I love you. Praise be unto God. Listen, all of you, take care and have an awesome, awesome day. Amen and God bless. See you back here next Saturday. And hopefully, for those of you that will make it out to New Vision tomorrow, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.